Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Yes, welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, the sultry tones of the striking Viking, Ava Lawrence, introducing us. I love hearing it. I'm Mitch Lawrence. In the seaside golf capital of the world, he's Darren Bunch out there in California, somewhere wandering around looking for a great golf getaway. Darren, how are you out there, man?
I am doing well out here in California and excited today to be talking to our friend Ryan Ballingy from Golf News Net, which is our new partnership, and we're pretty excited about the partnership itself. And if you're one of these people who likes to travel and maybe hook your travel plans around a PGA Tour event, Ryan is the guy with the tips, so we're going to be talking to him today.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and obviously, as you said, we're excited, so excited that I think, as we do at the beginning of every show, and I am 3 hours later in the day than you are in California, but I think both of us, you know, when I go play golf, I take a little flask with some single malt. It always a wee nip on the first tee, always kind of gets me started. And so it's going to be a tradition here on Talking Golf Getaways as I pop the cork on a beautiful 12-year-old Cardew single malt from Scotland. Here you go. There it is. Ooh. And yeah, that is loud as it should be. And so here's to you, Darren. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
And here's to the partnership with Golf News Net, and we'll be talking about that, as Darren said. Here's the ways you can find us, golfnewsnet.com, iTunes podcasts, and TuneIn. You can get in touch with Darren on social media, at Getaways Golf on Twitter, and at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me, at Mitch Lawrence, that's L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, on Twitter and Instagram.
And as always, before we get started, we need to have a little bit of a shout out to our sponsor. And of course, our sponsor for the first few weeks of shows is stgeorgeutahgolf.com, which is one of my favorite places, St. George, Utah, a place I've been to recently and just love going back.
And there's a reason that you and now a lot of other people love going back. 300 days of sunshine a year. Pretty good way to plan your trip. It's a good chance you'll have sun. Great, great, stunning golf courses you can choose from. A variety of different affordable lodging options. And trust me, there's more and more travelers from couples to multi-foursome buddy trips. They're discovering the beauty of St. George, Utah at the foot of majestic Zion National Park. And a great way to do it, if you want to get in touch and book a trip, is with stgeorgeutahgolf.com. And the reason why, it's family-owned, locally operated, really important. They know everything you need to know about St. George. Any budget, they can help you out. stgeorgeutahgolf.com. You can learn more about a really fun, friendly, affordable destination and start planning your next great golf getaway today. All right, so now we will move from St. George, Utah to basically the world, because our guest today on Talking Golf Getaways, and Darren and I are so excited about this, Ryan Ballingy is going to join us in just a couple minutes after I run down his amazing resume. Ryan is the founder and editor of Golf News Net, and you will find out why shortly, why Darren and I are really excited. He's been writing and broadcasting about the game for over a decade. He's worked for NBC Sports, Golf Channel, SB Nation. Obviously, he loves to golf. He's got a 1.6 handicap index. I know this to be true because I have played with him. The good thing is he says he will happily add strokes to play in a scramble. So if you want to get in on that, you let us know. We'll get back to Ryan. He is a graduate of the University of Maryland. He is a Terp through and through. He's got degrees in business administration. And Darren, I know when we talk about it, this will be of interest to us. In 2006, he got a master's in public policy. So we have some things to talk about. We're really thrilled to have the partnership that we have with Golf News Net, and we're going to learn more about it now. Someone who loves the Orioles, the Packers, lives in the Washington, D.C. area. And Ryan, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways, and welcome to the world of golf, which we are all about to really, really explore.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited, so I can't wait to get started.
Before we get going, Darren, I want to mention you can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Ballengee. That's B-A-L-L-E-N-G-E-E. And as we get started, let's start with Golf News Net. And if you can just tell us how it came to be, basically, and why you got started after a really interesting run-up in what you were studying.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a long story, so I'll give the Cliff's Notes version of it. So when I got out of high school, I wanted to be a journalist. I actually wanted to be a political journalist or a sports journalist or both. And I learned on the first day of Journalism 100 that I would make basically minimum wage coming out of college. And I said, okay, I don't want to be a journalist anymore. So I went and enrolled in the business program, and some friends of mine had operated kind of the precursor to podcasting, an online streaming radio station that did high school and D3 and D2 college games. And they did some sports talk. And I said, hey, do you guys mind if I did a golf show? And they said, no, not at all. Here's a microphone, sit at that table, talk for as long as you want. And for a while, my parents were the only ones that listened, I'm sure. And then as podcasting came along, developed an audience, and we got better guests, and we got people who actually wanted to talk to us, which I still find remarkable. And over time, decided maybe I should also write, and wrote for a couple of fan sites that were precursors to blogs, and then started my own. And then in 2007 or 8, took over what was called Waggle Room from SB Nation. And ran that for a couple of years until NBC reached out to me just ahead of the 2010 Ryder Cup. And they said, hey, we've been reading your work. We want you to help us cover the Ryder Cup. This is basically a tryout to start our golf blog. And if you do well, then we would like to work with you. And 3 days turned into 4 in that Ryder Cup. And I wrote 72 stories in 4 days. And they said, hey, that tryout went pretty well. And would you like to be our primary author for, and really the only author for, Pro Golf Talk on NBCSports.com. And I was working 2 months, not even, into a PR job that I absolutely hated and regretted. And I walked into the office the next day and said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. And it's the same news. I'm quitting. And became a golf writer. And over time, just like a lot of people, especially now where we are as an industry, that have felt the pain of losing jobs from jobs that they liked. And in 2014, I decided, you know what? I need to be in a position where I control my own destiny, and the only person that can fire me is me. And that's why Golf News Net is what it is now. And that's why I'm determined to make it into something that not only is good for me and my family, but also creates opportunities for a lot of other people who love this game and want to tell stories about it.
Boy, there's a segue if I ever heard one, Darren.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously we're excited about the partnership of having Golf Getaways and bringing golf travel content to Golf News Net. You know, talk a little bit about just the overall content of what you're trying to do with Golf News Net, and then kind of how you feel like it'll be important to have this entire kind of category of golf travel as well.
I think that in general, my philosophy about Golf News Net is to not be the same as everybody else and see the world through a slightly different prism, see the world of golf, that is, too, through a slightly different prism. That we want to be out front of the conversation. We want to lead the conversation about professional tours, about equipment, about issues in our game, about travel, about instruction, but that we won't want to do it in a way that you'll see on Golf Channel or Golf Magazine or other publications that I deeply respect and have a lot of admiration for. But I think that Golf News Net can distinguish itself and does distinguish itself by either being a tone setter or being a little iconoclastic. And I want to bring to people with, in particular, golf travel, a little bit different spin on the world, and that they won't get the same exact same thing you get at other places with the golf travel content that you'll see from Golf Getaways on Golf News Net. And that people will walk away not only entertained, but feeling informed and feeling like they have a better idea about the places that they can go and the amazing things that they can experience through this game, through the eyes of you guys and the contributors from Golf Getaways, and have a genuine experience that makes you excited to go do something, that makes you excited to go go online and book a reservation, or pick up the phone and find out more, or just talk about travel and talk about all the places. They're so amazing around the world that golf has the best acreage in the world. And hopefully we can take a lot of people to those places and get them excited about experiencing them in person.
Well, all of that sounds great. And as I said, obviously, we're all excited about the potential and the possibilities. Let's talk for just a moment about the PGA Tour. And you, as you said, you started with the Ryder Cup. I still want to find out how you wrote 72 articles about the Ryder Cup in 4 days. Were you even watching the Ryder Cup, or were you just making it up as you go along and hope they actually did what you wrote?
Well, you'll never believe this, or maybe you might if you know me, but on the Monday in which the Ryder Cup finished, because it extended to Monday, I still had a job, and I still had to go to that job. I was taking a bus to Washington, D.C., as I was watching the Ryder Cup on my phone, and simultaneously typing, running a live blog on NBCSports.com for that Monday. NBC has no idea that that happened, but I basically ran that final day operation from a bus on the way to DC.
Man, I love that. I love that. Talk about renegade journalism. It's perfect. All right. So you go to PGA Tour events. You cover the majors. You cover a number of other events. Relative to golf travel, do you get to play when you go to the tour events? Do you plan it well in advance? Do you have an idea of where you're going to play, and how do you go about setting that up?
For most times that I travel for the PGA Tour outside of this area, or for a golf tournament in general, usually it's a major championship, I try to plan pretty well in advance. Okay, I want to play at least one round of golf. Can I play two? If I can fit in two, I try to plan that accordingly by days. Usually at any kind of golf tournament, Tuesday is the busiest day. It's the day I usually fly in as well. Get in the morning, go to all the press conferences, and then try to figure out, okay, which days can I play the rest of the week? And I typically shoot for Saturday or Sunday morning, because obviously with the field cut by that time of the week, you're able to not have to pay as much attention to the entire field as you do on Thursday and Friday, because they're split up and they're not organized by their score. So usually Saturday or Sunday is the one day I try for certain to play. And then either Wednesday, or depending on how I feel, Thursday morning, I try to go play. And always travel with clubs, unless I'm going to get some clubs there. And by get some clubs there, I mean it's kind of an equipment event or something like that. That's rare. So I almost always travel with my equipment. And typically I go to Twitter and go kind of look around online. But start at Twitter with so many folks that follow me that are typically pretty close to where I'm traveling to. They give some very good suggestions. And then I'll follow up based on that. Just to look online, see if something's kind of near where I'm staying. How far away is it? Am I willing to make those accommodations to drive there if I need to? If it's far away from where I'm staying, and then usually call those places and say, "Hey, here's what I'm coming in for. What's your availability like? Is there something that we can do?" Because there's a lot of wink and nod in the press that if we go to a golf course and it goes really well, or even if it doesn't, you still have fun, to give them a little press in exchange for a discounted green fee or a free green fee or whatever. And I usually try not to bother private clubs. That's not my place. If I get invited by somebody, wonderful, but typically I want to play public places, and I want to play places that other people can play and I can tell them about, and hopefully they'll go play it. So that's usually my preference, and that's kind of how I look at scheduling out golf when I'm on the road.
Well, and you use Airbnb a lot too, don't you, Ryan?
I do, and I have to credit Stephanie Way for turning me on to that. We did this year for the Ryder Cup. We rented a house that she organized, negotiated with the owners for, right outside of Hazeltine National. I mean, not even 3 miles from Hazeltine National in the town of Chaska. And for the price per night per person, it was better than what we were going to get at the media hotel, which had a good rate. So we got a 4,000 square foot house with a hot tub, a great kitchen, wonderful accommodations, and we didn't have to even bother with a hotel that a lot of people said wasn't up to date, and you had to take a 30-minute shuttle each way, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun to deal with. So I, after those kinds of experiences, I am a complete believer in Airbnb and finding someone who is reasonable that will host you, and especially if you have a large group of people, it's an absolute no-brainer.
Well, it sounds fabulous, and sounds like a great way to do it too. Let's just talk for a second. How much are you actually traveling for Golf News Net? I mean, is it a lot if you don't go to a tour event? I know you do a lot of equipment stuff, which people can see videos on the website. How much are you actually traveling, do you figure?
I try to go to between 5 and 7 events every year. There are 3 majors in this country I try to go to. I can assure you I go to 2. We'll see how the Masters works out for next year. There are complications there that Golf News Net is still trying to become a regularly credentialed media body with Augusta National. The other part is that my 6-month-old daughter is born the Wednesday after this year's Masters. So sometimes that will be a conflict, including this upcoming year where I may have to fly home on the Saturday of the Masters to have her birthday party to come back for the final round on Sunday. So that's something to consider. But I try to go to those 3 tournaments. I typically wind up at one other. I'd like to go to the Players' Championship. I think it's a great time. The fans are great. The PGA Tour treats people well. I try to go to an LPGA event. And then there are 2 tournaments in this area that are regularly here that I try to go to. We got a Champions Tour event that just kicked up in November. It's part of their playoff series. We've got the Quicken Loans National that's in this area. And then next year, we also have the Senior PGA Championship, which I still find this hard to believe, that President-elect Donald Trump owns, and we'll be at in Northern Virginia next year. So I try to be reasonable in how often I travel. Obviously, I work from home a lot, and I do some other travel, and I want to spend time with my family and my kids. So I try to kind of keep it in that 5 to 7 week range.
And do you have a couple of places that, in the course of all these travels, and you mentioned, you know, how you kind of go about playing when you're on the road, you have a couple of places out there that maybe other people may not know about. They're not at the top of anybody's list, but you've come across them and thought, boy, I really got to get back and play this place again.
I really love, I mean, people are going to come to know this place pretty quickly. I loved Erin Hills. I had a great time there. I think it may be very well maligned because of the way the USGA plans to set it up for next year's US Open. A lot of people are going to learn more about the golf course, but if you get out there and play, you're going to have an awesome, awesome time. I spend a lot of time in Orlando every year for the PGA show. I have a family trip that's there. There are some hidden gems in the Orlando Davenport area that I wouldn't tell you, like, they're must plays, but they're a lot of fun and they're reasonably priced. Providence is one where we spent 3 rounds last year and had a great time. I love the Reunion area. They have some great golf courses over there. We've spent a lot of time at Disney golf courses, which I don't think people think about that when they go to Walt Disney World, even though there was a PGA Tour event there for, 30 years. But it's kind of fallen off the map a little bit. Obviously, that event's no longer there. Disney is an amazing golf destination. The golf courses are solid. They're PGA Tour caliber. And they treat you with a white glove that's not Mickey's that is wonderful. I try to get to places that everyone wants to play. I mean, that's just kind of the nature. I think as I get older, I will try to find more places that fewer people play and try to find those places I can come back to again and again and still have a great time and avoid a high green fee, but still have a good challenge.
Well, after that review, all I can say is, oh boy.
But I will tell you, I don't mean this to be, it's how it's going to sound. I absolutely hate Lake Buena Vista Golf Course. I absolutely hate it. It is too tight, and we play it almost every year that we're down there. And I think my family schedules it knowing that I hate the golf course because it's too tight for me. And they just laugh as I flail about in the front 9. And then by the time I get to the back 9, I've drunk myself silly because I hate the golf course and then play great. And so that's my only complaint about Disney World.
Well, Darren, it sounds like you and I have to get down there and cover it while Ryan's playing Lake Buena Vista, just to watch it. Well, we're thrilled to have you here. There's a lot more we're going to be talking about over the course of time. You're going to be a regular with us here on Talking Golf Getaways. Also, we've got a podcast that we're going to do on your Emergency 9 golf travel quiz, and I know people want to hear the answer. Somebody as involved as you, they should be some pretty interesting answers, and we're looking forward. Thanks for welcoming the Golf Getaways team to Golf Newsnet, and it's going to be a great future for all of us.
I'm so excited for the possibilities of what we're going to be able to do together and to share with people, and I just can't wait to get started. So thanks for having me on, and here's to a beautiful friendship and a beautiful relationship.
Cheers to that.
Darren, I'll say goodbye to you. Obviously, we'll talk again soon. Keep your ears open for Ryan Ballingy's Emergency 9. We'll be coming up. And again, you can get to him on Twitter, at Ryan Ballingy. And thanks for listening to Talking Golf Getaways. If you have something you want to hit us with, please feel free. Questions, suggestions for episodes. If it's recipes for great food, send it to Darren. He'll be more interested in that probably. Let us know your favorite places to play, to stay, to eat. Go to hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, and of course, golfnewsnet.com. And we will talk to you again soon. Until then, keep running down the dream. Take it away, Tom Petty.